hastening the reappearance of our 12th Imam sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. For Shahid Karbala, Qasim ibn al-Hassan sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. من الشيطان الرجيم بفضل الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين المعصومين. لعن الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا ابن رسول. يا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة. سيدي ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من التجأ إليكم. يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيم. قسم الإله الرزق بين عظمين، لا رزق أعظم من مصيبة قاسمين. Allah divided calamities among the great, though no calamity was greater than the tragedy of Qasim. With a Hassani appearance and a Muhammadi Mudhari lineage, he was from the progeny of Hashim. He was a killer of champions destroyer of armies, Alith al-Ayan, with Haydari force he defeated. Brave warriors, he destroyed them with his Hashimi strength. However, on the day when he fell to the ground with broken ribs under the hooves of the animals, he called out to his uncle, O Hussein, complaining in pain, his tongue shaked in thirst. Al-Qasim stretched his legs for the final farewell to his grandfather. Ah, may Allah help your heart, O Hussein. As my Imam looked to Al-Qasim, he was a youth who had barely reached his 20s. It is as if my Imam says in his heart, O Qasim, I fear that I may see you lying on the plains of Karbala. And on the ground of Karbala, my fears have come true. O Qasim, I see you lying before me. O Qasim, I do not want to remain in Karbala after you. May I have died before seeing you, my dear, O Qasim, laying as such, between rock and sand, covered in your blood, O Qasim. What did Ramla have to say, his mother? When she saw her son, she cried, saying, O my heart, O light of my eyes, you have left behind a desperate and grieving mother who is afraid and has no protector. Oh, my son, O Qasim, how is it that you die of thirst on the bank of Furat and I drink cool water? You have left behind a mother, O Qasim, who will count the days until she sees you again. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalabin yanqalibun wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. To hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The love of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, one loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa. Qalu ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dima wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika wa nuqaddisu lak. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azim. As I continue to talk about the reformer, our Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so that when we know who this reformer was and when he gave that huge sacrifice, in order to know the grandness of the sacrifice, we have to know the person who was sacrificed. Only then can we comprehend how grand that sacrifice for Islam was. As such, I had chosen Ziyarat Warith in order to see some of the traits and some of the realities, some of the manifestations of Allah Azza wa Jalla's attributes and His names and His qualities that previous prophets had, so that we see in Ziyarat Warith how Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited them. And we had started by talking about the personality of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and in the khutbah right now I recited this verse in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, verily I'm going to place between mankind and the earth a representative, a vicegerent. And they, the Malaika, they said, will you place therein those who will make mischief and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thank you and sanctify you? With this regard, we had talked a little bit about the fact that when we say salam to our Imam alayhi salam, number one, he is present, number two, he hears the salam, and number three, he also responds. This is because of the fact that the Imam is present in this world, and if he is martyred, it does not mean that he does not listen. No, because of the fact that the light of the Imam and the Masumin alayhi salam of Ahlul Bayt, their light is far more powerful than just being confined by this. And when a person does transcend and is lifted or goes higher from being bounded by the locks and by the ropes of this materialistic and this natural dunya of this world, their perception and their presence becomes even higher, even more powerful. Thereat they can perceive realities that a person cannot when they are bounded by this dunya. As such, our Imam alayhi salam is able to perceive all of these realities, and one of them is our salam to him. We had stopped when we're talking about the kind of wirath and the kind of inheritance that Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited from Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and thereat we had asked the question that is it that our Imam has inherited materialistic or material possessions just like normal inheritor may inherit from their deceased relative according to the different layers of inheritance, or is it something else? The definite answer is our Imam Hussein alayhi salam, just like the Imams before him and the Imams after him, there are certain possessions that were special possessions of our prophets during and throughout the course of history that they have inherited. For instance, one of the possessions that they have inherited is, according to the ayat of the Holy Quran, as we can derive and from the riwayat and from the narrations, that when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was cast into the fire in Babylon under the command of Namrud, Allah Azza wa Jal made that fire cold for him. But in the explanation that is given in some of the narrations, it said that Allah Azza wa Jal sent him a special shirt that protected him from the fire so that it would not harm him. That shirt was brought to him from Jannah. And this same shirt was the shirt that he bequeathed to his children, and in the end it reached Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. And Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, after Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam had gone blind, he gave it back to his brother Lawi so that he could take it to him, to his father, so that he could return, his eyesight would return. So this is one of the things that our Imam alayhi salam has. And as such, there are other similar possessions. For instance, the ring of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, with which he would command the jinn kind as well, jinn and mankind. Among the possessions is the staff of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Among the other possessions is as well the box of Sakina, Tabutu Sakina, the box of tranquility that Banu Israel had from the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So these are some of the possessions that our Imam alayhi salam had, and our trust Imam Ajallah Ta'ala Farj al-Sharif as well. He also has. However, is this kind of inheritance what is meant in this ziyarah? No, this is not what is meant in this ziyarah. These inheritance and these possessions, they do have them. However, what is meant by the ziyarah is something else. It is referring to, with reference to, a special reality that he has received and inherited from Nabi Adam alayhi salam. This reality that our Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited, or this meaning of inheritance. This meaning of inheritance can be supported by a narration that we have, in which it says that al-ulama warathatul anbiya, that is to say, the ulama, they are the inheritors of the prophets. The word alim means a person who knows the truth. And the most perfect example of the person who knows and who has knowledge of the truth is the Imam alayhi salam. So if an alim, if a scholar in the Hawza, in the Islamic world, were able to reach to a certain level of mysticism, of irfan, and they are able to inherit some of the realities, our Imams alayhi salam, they receive and inherit these realities to the furthest extent possible. So thereat, this narration, when we take it and we put it together with As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam and ya waritha waritha, we can understand that this wiratha, this inheritance, it is not only materialistic. No, it is looking at something else. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam. Adam alayhi salam, who was he? If we look right now, let me just give some of the events that happened with Nabi Adam alayhi salam when he was first created. In the Holy Quran, let us read some of the verses, and thereafter we start to dissect this matter. We start to divide and talk about a little bit more detail. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the first verse that I recited, إِنِّي جَعَلُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, that I'm going to place a vicegerent, a representative on the earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يَفْسِدُ فِيهَا, are you going to put someone in that earth, in that land, who will cause corruption in it? وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and shed blood as well. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, whereas we, this is the angel saying that we praise you and we glorify you. Why do you need this creation? Why do you need him? Adam alayhi salam, then from this ayah, we can derive that Allah Azza wa Jal referred to him as his caliph. So this is one of the things, or one of the answers to the question that who is Adam. Number one, he's the caliph of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ قَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he taught, Allah Azza wa Jal says, he taught Adam all the names of everything. Then he showed them these realities, these things that he taught Adam's the name of. He showed them to the angels and he told them, tell me the names of all of these if you are truthful. The angel said, glory be to you. We have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. Verily you are the knower, the wise. So, Adam alayhi salam, from these two verses we can understand and derive that he is the one, or he is the human being, or he is the spirit or the soul to whom Allah Azza wa Jal taught these names. We'll talk about these names a little bit later on, or what these names were of. Mu'allimul Malaika, Adam alayhi salam, when the angels were not able to answer what these names are, Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks to Adam. Qala ya Adam, anbi'hum bi asma'ihim, teach the malaika those names. Falamma anba'ahum bi asma'ihim, when he informed them of the names, qala alam aqul lakum inni a'lamu ghaiba as-samawati wal ard wa a'lamu ma tubduna wa ma kuntum taktumun. That is to say, did I not tell you that I know the ghaib, the unseen of these worlds, of the heavens and the earth? And I know whatever you reveal and whatever you disclose, you keep secret. So over here we can understand that number three, Adam alayhi salam is the teacher of the malaika. He is the one who taught him all of these realities. He lifted even the status of the malaika when he informed them of those realities. Number four, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and remember when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam, thereat, and they prostrated all of them except Iblis. He refused and he was arrogant and he was from the kafirin, from the disbelievers. Thereat, we can find that Adam alayhi salam had these four traits in the beginning of the story of his creation. So number one, he was the Khalifa. Number two, he was the one whom Allah Azza wa Jal taught all of these names. Number three, he was the teacher of the Malaika. And of course, this led to number four, because of the fact that he was the grandest of creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the Malaika should prostrate to him. They should show their inferiority to Adam alayhi salam. He was a higher creature. So there are two can derive that our Imam Hussein alayhi salam, no salawat. We can derive them. Our Imam alayhi salam, he was the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, he also was taught these realities and these names. Number three, he was also the teacher of the Malaika. And number four, he was also looked and noticed, taken into consideration when that sajda was done. A question now comes over here. That when Allah Azza wa Jal in the first verse that I read, that when He created this Khalifa, this representative of His, why did the Malaika, why did they oppose to this creation? Now this is actually going a little bit away from the main discussion itself, but it is related enough, and this is a matter that many people have a question with regards to, they don't know what the correct answer is. When we talk about history, anthropology, and we talk about Quranic history, there is always a question that comes to people's mind. Okay, right now scientists are uncovering, they're discovering in archaeology remains of humanoids or human man-like creatures from many thousands of years, maybe even millions of years. The most recent discovery of the oldest remains of a human beings are dated to 4 million. These remains are 4 million years ago. That is to say, these are the oldest remains of a human being with our kind of skeleton, etc. And it is very similar to us, it's like a human being. So at this point, this question can be answered. One of the opinions of the ulama is that these malaika, when they were opposing to Allah Azza wa Jal, are you going to create in the earth someone who's going to cause corruption and is going to shed blood? This is because of the fact that the malaika had seen such examples in history. Allah Azza wa Jal had created creations that were similar to us. And because of these traits that they bore, the malaika thought that this Adam is going to be the same way. However, Allah Azza wa Jal told them, no, this one is higher than all of them. I'm going to give him intellect, aql, and existential truths. These asma, these names. Thereat he's going to be better than them. Now, this opinion is aided and supported, consider the fact that there were other creations before us. And one of the questions to Sheikh Baqir al-Irawani, one of our mujtahideen, one of the teachers in the Hawza, he answers that there are narrations that are narrated that before our Adam, there were a thousand and a thousand Adams before them. And we have other narrations as well that before Insan, there were other creatures that were referred to as Nasnas. Other creatures as such. And we also have narrations that just like these stars that you see, in them are Musa's like your Musa and Ibrahim's like your Ibrahim. So we have such narrations. Now in these narrations, this is said that before Adam alayhi salam, there were creations. In Tafsir al-Mizan, Al-Alama Tabtaba'i, he solves this problem. He says that those creatures before Adam alayhi salam, these creatures were like human beings. However, they were different to us in the sense that they do not have this aql that we have. They lived for maybe tens of thousands of years, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions. However, they did not bear the same aql that we have today. Thereat, those creatures, they did not have that responsibility that we have. It becomes wajib at the age of 15 lunar years that a boy, for example, should perform salah, etc., etc. They did not have the same responsibility. They were creatures, however, they were closer to animals. They were not like us. And as a result, if you notice right now that human history, written human history, or even engraved, this only began 5 or 6,000 years ago. When our Adam alayhi salam was created, all of those other creations that resembled us, they had gone extinct. Allah had destroyed them. Or they went into extinction by themselves. In the end, they were not there, they were not present. So when our Adam was created, we were by ourselves. This is the only human species. And a thing or a matter, a fact that may also support this opinion is the fact that written history, which also means that there was intellect in those people who were writing these matters down. These only started 5,000-6,000 years ago. From when Allah Azza wa Jal created this creation that has this intellect. Otherwise, had those people, had that creation had intellect as well, then it would have been natural for history in this sense, not only just maybe some paintings, but history, not cave paintings only. And even these cave paintings, there are questions with regards to the dating. Maybe this was also from the time of our Adam alayhi salam. However, even let's say that this is before our Adam alayhi salam. History like this, like it is written, like it is known right now, it's only started during our time. Now, in the end, when Allah Azza wa Jal created this Adam, the Malaika, they had this opposition, they had this question, this objection, they said, that this creation is going to cause all these problems. Just to add one small piece of information, according to our Islamic history, our ulama do not put more than approximately 8,000 years of space between us and Nabi Adam alayhi salam. That is why when you go to different civilizations, when you go through different nations that lived, all of them lived the event of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam of the ark in a very lively way. That is to say, all of them knew about it as if they had heard about that. It was not very distant from them. Most of them, they knew about it. Anyway, continuing on. Allah Azza wa Jal said that I know what you do not know. What did Allah Azza wa Jal know? Allah Azza wa Jal was going to give this responsibility and this intellect to this creation. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. According to the tafsir, to the explanations, that it said that Allah Azza wa Jal taught Nabi Adam alayhi salam the realities. صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد. Allah Azza wa Jal taught Adam alayhi salam existential truths. What does that mean, Mawlana? It's it's a really difficult term to understand. Existential truth, that means that whatever is in the heavens, whatever is in the higher realms, whatever is in the samawat, and whatever is on the earth, Nabi Adam alayhi salam knew that what it was. He had this knowledge. For example, this creature is as such, and it does 1, 2, 3. It lives 1, 2, 3. Nabi Adam alayhi salam was taught that. Okay, Mawlana, is it possible that Nabi Adam alayhi salam was taught all of this? That would have taken thousands of years. No, it does not need thousands of years, actually. Knowledge is taught to a human being in two ways. You can either go to a school, you can either go to a university, you can study for a few years, and you can acquire knowledge. This is called acquired knowledge. There is another form of knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to each and every one of us. For example, just like the anger that you may feel, or the pain, or the distress, that feeling of yourself, your perception of yourself, this is a form of knowledge. This form of knowledge is called an innate knowledge. When this is taken even higher, Allah Azza wa Jal, like wahi, like revelation, He reveals all different forms of knowledge directly to the heart of a person. Directly. This is how all of our prophets were taught. This is how the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi received all forms of knowledge in the cave of Hira. When he first received the reality of the Holy Quran in general. This is how knowledge is received. This is how our Imams alayhi salam, even at the age when they start, for example, some of our Imams, our 12th Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif, for instance. He became Imam at the age of 5. How is it possible? Because of the fact that all of this knowledge was revealed unto him in this way. And this is not something that is only left, let's say, for the masumeen. There are many, many events many people in history who have received knowledge in this way. One of the examples is a shepherd who used to live in Iran. He's right now, he's buried in Qum, outside the shrine of Sayyidina Masum alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This shepherd, he used to also, of course, he used to have a flock of sheep and goats, etc. However, he was extremely, extremely careful and cautious about zakat. He used to always give zakat at its time, sadaqat, etc. He was a pure person. However, he was illiterate. He did not know how to read and write. One day, he was performing ziyarah in one of the shrines of the Imams Aligan, that is to say, some of the children of the Imams. Some of the children of the Imams, they had really, really high personalities and they were really spiritually pure. They had karamat and miracles of their own. So he was in the shrine of one of these. He was performing ziyarah, etc. I mean, according to his own understanding, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep. All of a sudden, he sees in his dream some people with an awe-inspiring appearance, with the light, with nur coming to him. One of them was a man. He comes to him and tells him, "You see this writing that is written?" It was ayat engraved in the shrine. "You see all of this writing that is written? Read it." He responds, "I don't know how to read." He said, "Read it." "I don't know how to read." He says, "Okay, I'll teach you to read. Read with me." He recited these ayat with him. When he woke up, he found himself that he knew all of the Quran by heart. He started to recite some of the verses, found that, I know what's following. Even though he's still illiterate, he did not know how to read and write. His friends, when he recited for him, they were amazed. This was happening at the time of Ayatollah Burujerdi. So, the Maraja heard of his story. They asked for him to come in their presence, one Marja after the other. He went into the presence of Ayatollah Burujerdi, rahmatullah alayhi. So Ayatollah Burujerdi, he wanted to test him. So what he did is that he wanted to make sure that this person knows how to read or not. Maybe he's just lying, maybe he's just memorized the Quran, there's nothing special about him. Maybe there isn't any miracle that has happened. He's just claiming, he's just alleging that. He said, "Okay, read this book for me." He held the book, started to scratch his head. "I don't know how to read it." "Okay, maybe this verse." He said, "Over here, okay, this verse. This is a verse I recited, this verse, but I don't know how to read the rest." I said, "Why? What's wrong? Don't you know how to read the Quran?" He said, "Yeah, this is the Quran. Read it for me." He says, "No, I can read this verse, that verse, but I don't know the rest." So he could only read, even read, he could only read the Holy Quran. He said, "You're right. This is not the Holy Quran. This is a book taught in Hausa. This is a book of Arabic grammar. Or actually, it's a book of Arabic eloquence, balagha. Those verses that you were able to read, those were the Holy Quran. But the rest is not Holy Quran, the rest is science of balagha." Ayatollah Burujerdi then asked him, "But how are you able to read that and not read the others?" He said, "These verses, they have nur. These writings, these lines, they have nur coming from them. But the others, they don't have nur coming from them." So this is possible. And this is how Nabi Adam alayhi salam, he was taught all of these names by Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah Azza wa Jal says in the verse, again I said all the realities, وَعَلَّمَ أَدَمَ الْأَسْمَى كُلَّهَا, all of them, all of the realities that are there. And so thereat we can see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam also received these realities, all of them, he inherited them from Nabi Adam alayhi salam. After that, Adam alayhi salam was presented before the Malaika. When the Malaika were not able to answer what the names of these realities were, so Allah Azza wa Jal, when he asked these Malaika, they said that we don't know except that which we have taught us. They said, "Subhanak, la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana." We don't know except that which you have taught us. In other words, they say that you, O Allah, it is not that you have been miserly, ma'adallah, or stingy You haven't taught us all of these names. No, it's because of the fact that we are a lower creation. We now understand that we are a lower creation. He is a higher creation. He is not like what we thought. He's not like that creation that we thought that it would just shed blood and cause all of this corruption in the earth. At that, we can now come to see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He then was a manifestation of that example of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. He had all of this. He had all of these names. He was a Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was also greater than the Malaika. Over here, the Malaika, just to add something really, a short point before continuing, is that the Malaika said that are you going to create in the earth a creation, etc. Whereas we do your tasbih and taqdees, we glorify you and sanctify you and recite your praise. According to our narrations, it is said, now I want to try and bring a point over here to show that it is not only that Imam Hussein alayhi salam received and inherited all of these traits from these personalities. No, except for the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, the rest of the Ulul Azam prophets, whatever the Imam received and inherited from them, the Imam had that quality at an even higher level. So when Nabi Adam alayhi salam was created and they said that we were doing the tasbih before, this same tasbih was taught to them by the Al-Haqiqah Al-Muhammadiyah, the Nur of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This tasbih, according to our narrations, it is said that the first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal created was the light of our Holy Prophet and his progeny. After creating it, this nur, out of its proximity and closeness and nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal, this nur, it started to recite tasbih. After thousands of years, Allah Azza wa Jal created angels from their nur again. He created angels from them. When the angels were created, they did not know what to do. So they looked at that nur, and that nur taught them how to do tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it is correct that Imam Hussain alayhi salam inherited that knowledge, that position of Khilafah. But it is also true that before even Adam alayhi salam started to do tasbih, and even the angels started to do tasbih, the Imam and that light, it taught that tasbih to the angels in the beginning. We come to the word Safwatillah, that is to say the chosen one of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imrana ala al-alamin. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, the prophet, the progeny of Ibrahim and the progeny of Imran above all the rest of the people, the rest of the nations. So Adam alayhi salam, according to the Holy Quran, he was chosen. Allah Azza wa Jal chose Adam alayhi salam. What does al-istifa mean over here? In the Arabic language, we have certain words that are very similar. Istafahum, that is to say, he chose them. It means he chose them for them, for himself. He did not choose them for anything else. He chose them for himself. And istifa, it is different to what is known in the Arabic language as the word intikhab. Intikhab means for you to select. For you to select, that is to say, I, for example, if there are two cups here in front of me, I can choose any one of them. But me choosing one other and not the other, it is not out of any reason, or it is not because this one is better than the other one. Whereas istifa in the Arabic language, it means that I am choosing one thing and not another because this thing is better than all of the others. So thereas Allah Azza wa Jal chose Adam alayhi salam and these progenies and Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, it is because of the fact that they were better than the rest of the worlds. So Safwatillah means the chosen one of Allah on the basis of his merits that other creatures did not possess. How did Allah Azza wa Jal choose Imam Hussein alayhi salam then, Mawlana? Allah Azza wa Jal chose Imam Hussein alayhi salam for this purpose, which was the epic of Karbala, of Ashura. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in Medina, and he was by the grave of the Holy Prophet, and he fell asleep, in his dreams he saw his grandfather, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the Holy Prophet informed him. He said, "Sha Allahu an yaraka qatilan wa sha Allahu an yarahunna sabaya." That is to say, Allah Azza wa Jal has willed, He wishes to see you as a shaheed, to see you as a martyr and killed, and to see them, the women folk, as taken captives. So Allah Azza wa Jal chose Imam Hussein alayhi salam in order to save his religion, in order to cause this shock in this ummah, so that it will wake up from its sleep, from its slumber, because it was deviating and going another path totally. Allah Azza wa Jal chose Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be like this fire that is bringing us to the religion of the Holy Prophet, and to carry out and to perform these majalis every year. It is the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that is bringing us here. And so Allah Azza wa Jal chose Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be the guarantee of the continuity of Islam. He chose him to be the guarantee of the continuity of Islam. So this is the kind of istifa that Allah Azza wa Jal chose. A point, a final point that I would like to mention is the fact that when that sajda was happening before Imam Hussein, before Nabi Adam alayhi salam, there were two groups of people. The first group of people were the angels, who had understood what this reality before us, this creature before us, is. These people who were the angels, they performed sajda. They confessed that this creation that Allah has created is higher and better than us. However, in the opposite, on the other side, you had another group, which was at that time Iblis and Shaitan himself, who was arrogant, proud, materialistic, self-conceited, and did not perform the sajda. What about Imam Hussein alayhi salam? He also had these groups of people. In the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the first group of people were his companions, those pious people who went until their ends and they met their deaths because of the fact that they believed that this person who is with us and he is calling us to this message, this person truly is the best of creations. He is the inheritor of the Holy Prophet, he is his grandson, and he is truly the Khalifa and the Imam. Whereas that other group, the Umayyad camp, and all the others who are like them and did not come to the Imam's aid, these people, they are Hizb al-Shaytan. They were Hizb al-Shaytan. They were the continuation of Shaytan and his party and all of the qualities that Shaytan, la'natullahi alayh, stands for. As we go to Karbala, in these hours that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, these tough hours that our Imam alayhi salam was facing, we find that all of the companions of my Imam alayhi salam, all of them, they had become martyrs. We find that many of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam had also become martyred. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam was martyred. Aun and Muhammad had been martyred. The brother of Al-Qasim alayhi salam was also martyred before him. After the companions and some of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam were martyred, Al-Qasim alayhi salam, the 14-year-old son of Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam, he came to his uncle seeking permission to go and fight, to go and spill his blood in the way of Islam, to protect his Imam, to protect the women folk of the Holy Prophet. My Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked at Al-Qasim. He embraced Al-Qasim and he kissed him. He tells him, "Oh Qasim, you are the remaining trace of my brother Al-Hasan. You remind us of Al-Hasan. Whenever we look at you remind us of him. Oh Qasim, if we let you go, you are the only memory of Al-Hasan alayhi salam with us. Whenever we wanted to look at him, we would look at you." Al-Qasim alayhi salam, he was extremely saddened by these words. He saw that his uncle is not giving him the permission. Al-Qasim alayhi salam goes to his mother. He tells her, "Oh mother, oh my dear mother, I just saw Al-Akbar. He was martyred, whom he grew up with. However, my uncle is not giving me permission to lay down my life for him." Al-Qasim alayhi salam, when his mother sees him, she tells him, "Oh my son, I will give you the will of your father. Look at it and read it." Al-Qasim alayhi salam opens the letter of his son, of his father. What does it say? It says, "Oh my son, oh Qasim, on the day of Ashura, if you see your uncle Imam Hussein is by himself, do not hesitate to come to his aid. Help him and lay down your life for your uncle, oh my dear son." Al-Qasim alayhi salam takes this letter. He was extremely happy. He takes it to his uncle, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, he reads that letter from his brother and he starts to cry and weep. He hugs and kisses Al-Qasim alayhi salam. He tells him, "Oh my son, I will let you fight." He makes him wear his armor and his helmet. He tells him, "But first go bid farewell to your aunts, to Zainab and to your mother Ramla." Al-Qasim alayhi salam goes and he bids farewell to his aunt, to Zainab, who had just seen Ali al-Akbar die before her. He goes and bids farewell to his mother, Ramla. I can imagine the words in Ramla, in her heart. She says to her son, "Oh my son, I have kept you for this day. I have kept you for this day. Do not disappoint me in helping your uncle." What does Al-Qasim have to say? He says, "Oh my mother, please do not forget me. Oh my mother, do not forget me. Do not forget me that I'm thirsty." "So always remember me when you drink water, oh mother. I have died thirsty." Al-Qasim alayhi salam, he leaves the tent and climbs the horse. He goes to the battlefield reciting poetry. He says, "If you do not know me, then I'm the son of Hassan, son of the Prophet Mustafa and Mu'taman. This is Hussein, head like a captive hostage. Between people, I pray, never drink from the clouds any rain." Al-Qasim rides into the battlefield. He kills many, and as he fights, his sandal lace, it becomes loose. Al-Qasim, because he was so brave, he does not care even if there are enemies around him. He starts to fix it, and all of a sudden, one of the mala'in, Amr al-Azdi, he says, "I'm going to deprive his uncle from him." He comes to Al-Qasim, and he strikes him with the sword on his head. He's placed the head of Al-Qasim, who falls down to the ground and he cries, "Oh uncle, help me, oh Hussein." Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to Al-Qasim and he cries. He comes to Al-Qasim alayhi salam and he puts his hand under Al-Qasim. He hugs him and he tells him, "Oh my Qasim, it is very hard by Allah that you called to your uncle for help and he is not able to help you." And there in the hands of my Imam, Al-Qasim passes away, he goes to his grandfather, Inna Lillah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam brings Qasim to the tent of the Shuhada. With his legs dragging, he places him beside Ali al-Akbar. Imam Hussein alayhi salam starts to look at these two shaheed, these two youth of Karbala. For a few minutes, he looks towards Ali al-Akbar, and then he looks towards Al-Qasim. Ramla comes, she looks at Al-Qasim, she tells him, imagine a mother seeing the dead body and the split head of her son. She tells him, "Oh Qasim, I have come to smell you. Oh Qasim, I have come to wash your wounds with my tears. Oh my son, you have left a mother alone. Oh my son, I don't have any hope for this life." "Oh son, you have left a mother in pain and grief. Who will watch the stars of the skies and count her days? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ahla bayti Muhammadin ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun wal aqibatu lil muttaqin ya Allah." O Allah, hasten the appearance of our 12th Imam, ya Allah. O Allah, make us among the soldiers and the companions of our 12th Imam, ya Allah. O Allah, grant us his satisfaction and his dua for us, ya Allah. O Allah, accept our a'mal and forgive us our sins, ya Allah. O Allah, those among us in this majlis, all of us, all the mu'mineen who have hajat, fulfill the hajat for them, ya Allah. O Allah, those who are deprived and those who are afflicted with the bala, O Allah, raise these balas from us, O Allah. O Allah, those of us and those from the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam who are deprived of children, O Allah, grant them children, ya Allah. O Allah, those sick of us, O Allah, grant us a speedy and a hasty shafa, O Allah. O Allah, protect our maraja, ya Allah. O Allah, protect the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and all the different countries of the world in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, in Yemen, in Bahrain, and in Lebanon, O Allah. O Allah, protect our maraja, O Allah, send the thawab of that which we have recited along with Surah Al-Mubarakat Al-Fatiha and Allah's salawat to our mu'mineen, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.